Welcome to another segment of Agricultural Market Viewpoint, where we discuss various themes of significance in global agriculture and indeed with a clear focus on Africa. There's a number of things that have happened in global agriculture this past week. The EU, for example, starting to signal that they are open to importing GM maize, which they haven't been importing for the past 25 years or so. But the one thing that everyone was looking at is the Black Sea. There was a big talk about the Russia-Ukraine grain deal, which indeed was reached on Friday. The deal basically entails Russia agreeing not to attack any vessels that will be transporting grain out of the ports of Ukraine, particularly the port of Odessa. And Ukraine is important when we think about this issue because there's roughly about 22 million tons of grain. That's wheat, maize, sunflower, and other small grains that is in silos over there. And this grain has not been able to be exported to its typical market since the invasion of Russia's Ukraine. There might have been some exports, maybe really very, very small volumes, but the large proportions of the exports out of Ukraine have been disrupted since the start of the war. Of course, there's a disruption and a destruction of infrastructure, but also there were threats of the attack of the vessels that will be transporting goods out of Ukraine. So this grain deal was a way of saying, okay, there will not be any attacks to some of those products. It was a multinational effort. The UN facilitated it. The likes of Turkey and the others participated in those engagements. And the deal was reached on the 22nd of July. And it seemed that it will take the world forward. This was a major focus of the world because since the war started, global agricultural prices have increased significantly. Millions of people around the world are facing a severe hunger, particularly in the poor countries, as well as those countries that were negatively affected by droughts and the other things. If you think of East Africa, for example, parts of Asia and the likes. Hence, this was a global effort to say these rising food prices and the threats of hunger, we need to come together as the world and figuring out about how do we continue to facilitate the exports. And in our view, we saw the signing of the grain deal on Friday as a signal of saying perhaps this will add to a somewhat decline in global agricultural prices. And this was going to be a positive because global agricultural prices have already started to come down. Of course, if you think about the days after the war or the month after the war, global agricultural prices increased to record levels. In March, for example, if you were to look at the FAO's Global Food Price Index, it reached record levels. But since then, that index has been coming down, signaling the softening on the commodity prices. For example, in its June release, the FAO Global Food Price Index was down by 2% from the previous month, showing that there is some bit of moderation. Still with that, if you were to compare that index with last year, it's still up 23% on a year-on-year basis, which shows that prices are high, but they were coming down somewhat. And of course, the signing of the deal and possible resumption of exports out of Ukraine, that would have added also to a downward or deceleration in global grain prices. So that's the expectation that we had. But when we wake up on Saturday, though, there were again some disturbing news because all of the international press is talking about some missiles that have attacked some of the vessels in the Ukrainian port of Odessa. So that means that now there is this uncertainty because Russia had agreed that they won't attack any of those ports. And now you wake up the next day after that deal, there are news of the Russian missiles that have actually struck those ports. So what this has done now, it has brought some bit of uncertainty to say, are we really going to see the exports resuming following this grain deal? What's the integrity and the trust that the markets and the people can put in this grain deal? And I guess then even those that are involved in trade, the merchants that needs to be moving vessels, are they really going to be taking a chance and getting there to move the commodities if there is this uncertainty? So this is what the world is sitting with, or at least this is what I'm currently watching for, to say what will the activity be over the coming weeks. And this is an issue that I've discussed and perhaps maybe in a more articulated and included a number of data in an article that we published in The Conversation. You can just look up the article. If you go to The Conversation website, you will see the article there. that is titled Russia/Ukraine Grain Deal Promises Major Benefits for the Poor Countries If It Holds. That's the article that was published in The Conversation this morning. You can go and read that article yourself. The other thing that I outlined in the article was, of course, the implication of this grain deal to Africa. Africa is the major importer of agricultural produce, or net importer of agricultural produce. We spend as a continent roughly about $80 billion importing agricultural products. And of course, those are mainly wheat, palm oil, sunflower are some of the key products that we import. These are also products whose prices have increased significantly since the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. And as a sub-Saharan Africa region, we spend roughly about $40 billion a year on those imports. So while not all countries are actually receiving physical supplies from the Black Sea, but the potential deceleration or decline in prices as a result of a resumption of the exports or increase in the volume of products that could be traded, with Ukraine opening up that 22 million tons of grain, would have been a positive. There are certain countries that do receive the physical supplies from the Black Sea. For example, take Russia. As the African continent, we spend about $4 billion a year importing products from Russia. About 90% of that is wheat, 6% is sunflower. The key importing is Egypt, about 50% of that, followed by Sudan, Nigeria, Tanzania, Algeria, Kenya, and South Africa. Within Ukraine, we also spend about $2.9 billion worth of agricultural produce that we get from Ukraine as the African continent. About 48% of that is wheat, 31% is maize, and the rest is sunflower oil, barley, and soybeans. So there is a lot that we are getting from there. And of course, the other important thing is that with all of the hunger, particularly in the East Africa region, the likes of the World Food Program, we're going to be able to get some supplies out of the products that are coming out of Ukraine, which I think could be positive for increasing stuff that they could put to the most affected regions of the world. So all of these news of the attacks in the port of Odessa is raising some major challenges, and I think it might undermine this grain deal. But I won't be quick to say that, but I would say that this is something that we need to watch, and if the exports do resume, this will be for a benefit for poor countries that are currently struggling as we speak for now. But all of these are some of the uncertainty that I think are worth watching going forward. As I said, there is an article that I've written which delves into this, that is published in The Conversation, but also for some of the key themes that I open up with about the EU starting to import genetically modified maize. It's some of the things that is a change of sentiment in the EU. I think is partially underpinned by these higher food prices that we see across the world. And you can read about that also in one of our reports if you go to www.agbiz.co.za, www.agbiz.co.za. That's our website, Agbiz, and you'll be able to download that report under market reports, and you can read a lot about what we said there and some of the data that we are watching this week, which of course we will digest in the next installment of the Market Viewpoint. So that's all I have for now, and my name is Wandile Slobo. Thanks for listening.